The following is a KMOX sports special.
Our city, our spirit.
Welcome to the City Spotlight.
It's in! City goal!
Now, your host, Jen Cease, on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It's soccer time on KMOX. Welcome into the downtown studios. I'm Jen Cease, and I'll be your host to this one-hour show. Trying to follow a guy like Nate Gatter is a big task, and Matt Pauly when he's here. So I'll do my best to cover some soccer here tonight. Daniel Hinkamp is alongside, making sure everything gets played and pressed appropriately. Well, it's a winning all around for St. Louis City SC as a club. Most recently, if you weren't tuned in, City 2 with their ninth win. This one was at Energizer Park last night over Ventura County, and they did it in PKs.
Seeley scores! Cam Seeley, Christian Olivares, the hero in St. Louis, and City 2 take the extra point.
Yeah, they do it with their ninth win. And to join me now is somebody who was there, I believe, Charlie Bilyeu, University City High School journalist. He's been on KMOX with me before. Charlie, great to have you back.
How's it going, Jen?
Good. How was the game last night? It sounded fantastic. It looks fantastic on the highlights. How was it to be there?
Gosh, it was amazing. I mean, for a Wednesday night crowd, people showed up. The atmosphere was absolutely electric. Of course, they go down to start the match.
You got to make it interesting.
You got to make it interesting. In the 33rd minute, you had Tommy Musto of Ventura County scoring. But Mateo Kidd, after halftime, 57th minute, scored. Nothing after that until Pens, where City, of course, got the win. Absolutely electric atmosphere. They've just been playing so well recently.
Yeah, you know, and it wasn't a surprise to me to know that Christian Olivares had himself a night as well. You and I see him at training alongside Roman Berkey, alongside Ben Lunt on a regular basis. That had to be what a great way to come up, you know, big for the team.
Yeah, I mean, Christian was amazing. Him and the opposing goalkeeper, JT Marcinkowski, for Ventura County, were both amazing in the match. Olivares, I mean, you talk about learning from, I would say, and I'm biased, but the best goalkeeper in Major League Soccer in Roman Berkey, a goalkeeper who is not only a veteran, but has played overseas in the highest level in Germany with Borussia Dortmund. I mean, that is just a treasure trove of information that is getting passed down from Roman and Benjamin Lunt to Christian Olivares, and that's got to be so valuable for him.
Yeah. And you think about it later in this hour, we'll talk with Dale Schilly, of course, who was probably there. If he wasn't out of town, he's now also, besides being the academy director, our game analyst on Y98, he is a City 2 assistant coach, wearing many hats this club is to try and make everything work this year. We'll talk to Tom Timmerman as well. And at the end of the hour, we'll talk to, I had an interview with Haziel Orozco, City 2 player brought here for City 2, of course, making waves on the first team. Do you find, Charlie, when you're there, that line of sight into whether it's the first team here in St. Louis or a first team somewhere, that ability to be grown within that system is really something special?
It is. I see it's something similar to, you know, in the NHL, you have the AHL as the affiliate minor league. In the MLB, you have the minor leagues. You have AAA, kind of that place for players to prove themselves. And, you know, if you're not with that first team, you're still playing the game you love, and you're still getting paid to do it. I think that's the biggest thing. The oldest player on your team being 27, it's a very young squad. Mekhi Joyner just turned 18. Tyson Pierce is still under 18, right? Some of these guys can't even vote yet, but they're so skilled that you love to see them get time with the first team. You love to see them kind of strive to show, well, this is why I should play with the first team right now. And the ability to do that, I think, is unmatched from MLS to any other sport.
Yeah, in terms of having David Critchley, the interim caretaker at first, of course, now interim head coach for the first team, and bringing guys up into training consistently, whether they're going to get time or not. But we know from here from David Critchley, if you're brought into training and you have a good training week, you could make a case for yourself. That has got to be something that sends vibes all the way down to the youngest levels of City Academy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's been guys in training, Tyson Pierce. You look at a guy that not many people have talked about. He hasn't gotten a nod with the first team yet, but Seth Antwi trained with the first team a couple times 2 weeks ago, and he's been amazing ever since. He was the most accurate passer at 95% last night at the City 2. Last night at the City 2 match. I mean, even just being in the room, gaining knowledge, listening more than you talk with these guys that have, you know, such profound experience within the sport is something extremely valuable. And having David Critchley there as that kind of pipeline, knowing you're not going in there blind, you know, you're not having to learn a whole new system. It was similar last season when John Hackworth was the interim, right? You saw some young players get a chance. Not as much as this year. This year you've seen Mekhi Joyner get time with the first team, Brendan McSorley. You've seen Tyson Pierce, Jadiel Orozco, who's been doing absolutely amazing. I mean, the amount of opportunity we have in the second team is incredible.
You know, I harp on this a lot. I think I've mentioned this a number of times in either the pregame show or postgame show or here on Camo X, is the ability for City to create an environment that you have to have a competitive environment, right? People, I don't want somebody taking my position. I want that position. At the same time, you have veteran players, whether they're a veteran on the first team like Celio Pompeu mentoring Tyson Pierce, as he told me last week, or you mentioned Seth Antwi. Dale Shilley told me that he was mentoring a City Academy player. And sometimes these are players that could potentially take your spot. But how hard and challenging and special that must be to be able to create an environment that has to be competitive, but also, as Critch says, competitive in the right way. You know, you don't want anybody getting hurt. You don't want anybody, you know, going off the rails and doing something they shouldn't, but try to keep that environment.
Yeah, I mean, we just talked about how the development is such an incredible factor for this team, producing talent on the second team that goes on to succeed in the first team, right? You talk about Celio Pompeu, he got his start with the Next Pro team before the first team played a match,
right?
So, I mean, the way that you talk about that competition, I think especially when you have a team that started out very cold with St. Louis here, who is, you know, towards the bottom of the table in the West and in the league, I mean, you really have a sense of, I mean, you have to bring in a sense of, we have to have some urgency here, right? You have to have some urgency within the players. You have to say, well, we might be paying you this much money, but we're still going to, there's still guys below you who are fighting, you know, like, with their claws to try to get time with the first team. They're trying their best. That's all they want to do. So bringing in some of that healthy competition has definitely strengthened some form for the first team as well.
Charlie, thanks for joining me tonight, and I look forward to another check-in on any of the teams we want to talk about with City. You game?
Of course.
All right, Charlie, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Have a good one.
That was Charlie Bilyeu. He is a UCHS student journalist, class of 2027, and you can follow him, by the way. He produces great content on Twitter, X, at Bilyeu Charlie, B-I-L-Y-E-U. Charlie, and you can find him there. He participates sometimes on podcasts, always produces articles, and produces a lot of good information too about some of the stats like he talked about this evening. More to come. We're going to switch over. We'll talk a little bit City too, because our Dale Shilley is now an assistant coach there. So many hats that Dale wears. We're going to talk about the Portland win with the first team, the City 2 win just last night, and we'll catch up with Dale next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city, our spirit.
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Everybody, they catch the game. They get a result. 3 points. Great performance.
That was Dale Shilley, St. Louis City Academy Director. He was alongside Joey Zanaboni as the game analyst on Y98 for the last City game where City defeated Portland, but in a really phenomenally exciting game. Dale Shilley joins me now to update me on how many other job titles he has with St. Louis City, because he's now City 2 assistant coach. Dale, is there anything else you're doing there at this point in time?
No. No. Don't put any thoughts in anybody's mind.
So before we segue, of course, into the first team, which is, you know, what we usually sit and talk about, how about that City 2 win?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we win it in PKs, so it goes down as a draw and the extra point, but feels like a win. We came from behind against a really good Ventura County team, which would be LA Galaxy's two team. And then the we're just missing a lot of guys, and some academy kids had to step up. And, you know, all in all, the guys were really good. And, you know, when we've lost Tyson Pierce and Haziel Orozco to the first team, the guys did a phenomenal job stepping up against a good team.
Yeah, amazing just to see once again, we've talked about it from the first team, City 2 stepping up, and now you're mentioning the academy players stepping up. I can just only imagine what a system that keeps, you know, turning and churning like this. It's only been 2.5 seasons, maybe a little bit more if you count City 2's early days, but really only a very short time that we start to see it running on all cylinders makes for a promising future.
Yeah, and, you know, it's about two things, really. The players that you get in, so just the community and the quality of the players that are out there in the club systems, and then just figuring out how to create the pathway and be bold enough and brave enough to give the younger players an opportunity to play against the older guys, spur their development, acts as a catalyst to help move them along a little bit quicker. So, yeah, it works on both ends. It works on from the clubs and who we're getting into the program at the younger ages, and then the process of the staff and the process of what goes on when you're training alongside of top players. And then on the way out, can you create the pathway so guys have the vision to where they can get to, and there's a means for them to get there.
Of course, it doesn't hurt when players are returning to availability from injury. It was nice to hear on the press conference today that David Critchley reported that Timo Baumgartel back in full session. Mm-hmm. Still seeing how many minutes, but it looks like he's, you know, just frankly needs a final number. Edward Leuven's going to travel. So things are getting a little bit stronger in and of its own right for the first team.
Boy, what a difference Leuven makes when he comes into a game.
Right.
You know, just how much the game elevates the energy level of the players, the energy level of the crowd. I mean, the crowd was pulling for him at every moment, and just what he offers and what he brings to the game from a playing perspective, for sure, but from a leadership perspective. And, yeah, I mean, look, the guys, I thought, put together one of the better all-round performances of the year. On both sides of the ball, the attacking side, we created enough chances. I think 2.1 on the XG, scored two goals. So, you know, when you can hit close or right at your XG, that's good. And I thought we were more responsible on the defending side. We weren't just throwing caution to the wind and get as many numbers forward as possible. I thought we did a good job of rest defending, did a good job of just holding down the fort, if you will, when the rest of the group was, you know, trying to create those opportunities and finish some chances. So really a good, solid performance as a whole.
Yeah, something, one of my favorite things I think I heard today, besides players coming back, was something that Coach Critch said about Vollum and Ostrock being on there, and him admitting that it actually made it hard on him to put Leuven in because they were doing such mm-hmm. a good job. In other words, you know, it wasn't like I have to put Edward Leuven in because, oh my gosh, we're in trouble. They were doing a great job. Of course, Conrad Vollum doing the work that we know he can do, and Tomas Ostrock seeming to kind of start to find some stride in not only his technical ability, but that gritty level when it comes to, you know, kind of making those extra tackles. It's kind of nice when you don't have to call in Edward Leuven. You can just have him as a bonus
sure.
if you need to.
Sure. No, I mean, look, if Ostrock can make it hard for the staff to make those sort of decisions, that's good. And that always hasn't been the case. But in this one, in the Portland game, he was active. He was on the ball. But he's so good in tight spaces, but he lacks a little bit in the bigger picture and affecting the game away from him, where Leuven is so good at that.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
fair.
The game is just different. So even though Tomas had a good performance and really solid and did everything you could ask of him, when somebody else offers something completely different and at a different level, and he can still do the same things, then you've got to take that risk, obviously. And then look, Critch certainly wasn't saying, boy, what do I do? Is it Ostrock or is it Leuven?
Right.
I think his point was Ostrock did a really good job, and we're really pleased with his performance. But, you know, at the end of the day, this was Leuven and Roman's team a few years ago, a couple of years ago. We would like it to be that way again.
And the other thing is the partnership between him and Conrad Vollum seemed to, Ostrak and Vollum, seemed to work well. And it from what I heard of Critch talking, one, made it easier on the backs, especially the center backs, to trust that, hey, I can give the ball here and they're going to progress the ball forward, number one. And then number two, their ability then to allow Marcel Hartl, to go do what he was able to do, and that's be creative and attack.
Yeah, but think about it on the defending side as well. So that's where Vollum does so much for you. He wins so many 50-50s. How many balls that fall to the ground after an errant header or a poor first touch does he get in and swoop up and intercept or win that 50-50 tackle to help start the game going off the other way? And that allows the center backs to do a good job on the defending side. It makes things easier for them. There's less unpredictable moments. They can see and predict what's going on. So it makes their job immensely easier. And then when you add the defensive job that Orozco did on the left side of the field, it even makes the center back job even easier if they know that there's not going to be service or penetration down one of the flanks. So, yeah, I mean, I think Conrad is a really good partner in the center of the park. I still like him wide because of his engine.
Right.
I don't think he's completely comfortable with his back to the rest of the field, but that's a personal preference on my side. And we don't have a better choice. He is the best choice to be the ball-winning, connecting midfield player that's a good partner for an Ostrak or a Leuven.
Okay, so City and yourself and Joey Zanaboni traveling to Dallas, play FC Dallas, that I believe, if I still have the standings right after Wednesday night games, City was one of the few teams, I think, not to play on a Wednesday night, the first team. They played. They're still ahead of City in terms of the standings. And they're a team that likes to, talking with Critch, absorb pressure. They're not afraid to low block. It's not been a great success story for City in the past to try to break that down. What do they need to do to come out with at least one, hopefully three?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think anytime you get a team that sits deep, figuring out how you can get inside the box, trying to find ways to penetrate is obviously how we want to try to create chances. When they sit so deep, though, you may want to take some risks by shooting from distance, which that's one reason why Leuven would be an important part of this game, getting around the corner. Would be important as well. That's where, you know, Celio not knowing where he's at and all that is a concern. But this is an important game because you said Dallas is just ahead of us in the table. But in the 10 games or whatever it is, the games that Critch has coached, so May 31st forward, we have more points than Dallas does in that period of time with the same number of games. So this is a game that, when you look at it from that perspective, is a game that we have a really good chance of getting 3 points in. So we need to put back-to-back good performances in, get a good performance here against Dallas like we did against Portland, like we did in the second half against Real Salt Lake. We can walk out of Dallas with 3 points, and now things start to turn and it gets a little more interesting. So let's remain relevant. Get 3 points. Let's be relevant.
Right. They just said that, Critch said today, the game right ahead of us. So that's, of course, what we're focused on. Dale, look forward to hearing from you and Joey on Saturday from Dallas.
Thank you.
That was Dale Shilley. He's our game analyst on Y98 and wears so many hats with St. Louis City. You could catch him and Joey Zanaboni on the Y98 broadcast Saturday, July 19th, as City takes on FC Dallas away. Our pregame show starts there on Y98 at 7 p.m. with kickoff around 7:30. Hang with us on the City Spotlight. We'll have a visit with Tom Timmerman, beat writer covering all things St. Louis City SC for the Post-Dispatch. Tom's up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Back on the City Spotlight, Jen Cease here. Well, St. Louis City SC has a new player coming to town. Senegalese defender Falu Fall from the Norwegian club Fredrikstad FK. Interim head coach David Critchley spoke this week about the anticipation of Falu's arrival.
an exciting player. He's aggressive, he's good in the air, he's got a left foot, which helps obviously with having different qualities when we build on the left side, just having a natural left footer there. So we're very happy with what we see in him. Now it's just about getting him over and getting him, you know, accustomed to the MLS and the challenges that this league gives you with travel and all the different conditions you're playing. But I'm excited for him a lot. He should come in sharp. He should come in fit. That's the expectation. So we'll try and integrate him right away into the group, yeah.
And who asked those questions was my guest joining me now, Tom Timmerman, City beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Tom, really great question. Are you as excited as my previous host of Sports Open Line, Nate Gatter, seems to be really excited about following?
Nate is thrilled. I mean, this is,
I know. He's never thrilled, and he's pretty thrilled tonight.
Yeah, that is something. And I mean, the fact that they paid a substantial transfer fee, probably the second largest in club history, other than for Klaus, to get him, says that, you know, this is an investment. This is almost as big an investment as this team has made in a player. Now it's, you know, a new 21-year-old. You know, left center back going to turn the season around? No,
right.
He's not. But as far as building for the future, as far as what he brings, and as far as he develops the way they think he will, you know, for what they may get from a transfer fee from him later on, is good for the club. So it's very interesting to see, because obviously they are, you know, they are big on him. And this is, which I think Nate appreciates, a statement on the part of the team that they're not just going to look for free transfers to build the roster with, that everyone is in play, that they, if they're going to pay a transfer fee for him.
Yeah. And of course, David Critchley talking about the fact he said he's got a left foot. They all have left foot, but of course he's left footed, which, you know, does, in my opinion, soccer is a two-footed sport. You can tell I've coached kids because it drives me crazy when they can only use one foot. Drives me nuts when I see them switch feet to go over the other. However, you are quicker with your dominant foot, so that gives City an advantage for whatever we do get out of Falu. Should make the advancement. He's fast, I hear. 6'4". It's not bad. It's not bad to be tall back there. And so what he can potentially bring to the club in a short amount of time, you know, might still be something, and definitely good for the next year.
It is. And, you know, they've got, with all the center backs they've got, the only one who's left-footed is Joachim Nielsen. And everyone's familiar with his situation where he's just been hurt so much that he hasn't been able to play.
Right.
And so this gives them an option that just didn't exist for when they want to swing the ball to the left and move it upfield. It will go much more smoothly that way. Yeah, and I remember talking to Lori Kolupny, who was left-footed, and she said, yeah, she's, you know, as a kid, she played with her left foot to be better with her left foot, and that got her, you know, obviously talented in other ways too, but as far, you know, with playing with the national team and, you know, and all the things she accomplished, a very long professional career, and that was because of, in part because of her left foot.
Yeah, exactly. My question, I wonder, and I know that there, it might not mean as much for down the line, but I wonder what impact that could then have on the ones we're used to seeing there, Jay Reed and Haziel Orozco, who we're really excited about lately, and what that could mean for their futures.
It is, because I think ultimately, you know, they've got in the center back position, you've got Henry Kessler, you've got Timo Baumgartel, and you've got Joachim Nielsen. Those are your big three. If they were healthy, those are the ones we would expect to start. Now, with Fall being the only left-footed one, would he be in that center back spot, or do they look at him as a left back? That will be a decision. Now, you know, for that to happen, though, it assumes that the other center backs are healthy,
right,
which is a major step with the way this team has gone. Looks like they'll get Baumgartel back this week, but who knows when Kessler or Nielsen is back. So it's depth that they certainly can't look away from, because that position has caused them so much trouble. But yeah, but you know, those other left backs, you know, Orozco and Reed are both really young guys, and not to say Fall is even younger, but that's, you know, Yannis Horn gave them an experienced player at that position. Now they're looking at a lot of left-sided players who are really young, and while this, you know, the team is not averse to young guys, but it'll be something to see how that plays out. Or do they still need to go and look for a more experienced veteran left back.
Yeah, fair enough. And of course, City coming off the Portland win, which we're excited about. You and I thank you for having me, by the way, on your STL Talks podcast. It was fun to talk about the win. I am so glad I got to talk about a win and not a
thank
loss.
Thank you so much for being on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, they have Dallas come up, which we kind of previewed with Dale to talk about how they do that. And then, you know, really looking a little bit further than that with you, there'll be one more game, I think, if I've got it counted right, before you've got the Aston Villa friendly, which is really kind of City's break. And of course, the action that's happening is transfer window time. I know it's secondary transfer window, it's not the primary. Might the beat writer have some beat on what could be happening?
It may be the secondary transfer window in titled names, but for Luis Fantasyfield, it is his favorite one because he thinks, you know, the better players are available. And because there are more players available, that the prices are better. There are reports, and they've been confirming me that they've been talking to Minnesota about a couple guys there to make a
transfer. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Yeah, and so that's possible. But a lot of it depends on, I think it's going to depend on, you know, as they look at the contract situation. And because they've got a lot of guys who are out of contract after this year, as to what they have internally decided are the moves they have to make. And as to who they're saying, okay, this is, you know, someone who's going to move out, someone who there's interest in, or someone who they said, this contract's up and we're going to move in another direction. And do they move now to fill those spots? And that's something. And we've seen how things could change. I mean, you have to think that over the last 6 weeks, the attitude about Klaus has changed drastically.
Right.
He started scoring goals like this. Here's someone whose contract is up. They have an option on him for the following season. But, you know, now all of a sudden, if he, you know, scoring at the rate he's scoring, they're going to keep him, and they're going to maybe build around him more than they might have otherwise. So there's a lot of, you know, variabilities out there that are going to depend on internal decisions, because there are openings, you know, there are, this team has needs. I mean, when you've only won four games, there are things this team needs to address. And some of them are, you know, do they think some of these guys will come, you know, will improve? Do they think Cedric Toyer will be back to what he was last year? You know, how are those things going to play out? Or do they need to look for other attackers? So there's a lot of options like that. But, you know, Sung Bin Young, who's the South Korean player with Minnesota, who would be the most intriguing of the players they might get from them. You know, how does he fit in? Is he another Zande Silva who is not scoring and not playing in his current team, and you're hoping that a change of scenery will help?
Right.
Those are some of the factors that come into play on this. He would be another U-22. They've got, since they've accepted the 2DP for U-22 spot, roster building plan. They have one more U-22 spot. So is that something that they would like to see Young fill, or are they going to look elsewhere? You know, things can change, but, you know, they're definitely in the market for another U-22.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for joining me tonight, and I look forward to hearing you on City's game post-game presser, hopefully talking about another win.
I won't be talking, I'll be asking, but thanks so much for having me, Jen.
You got it. That was Tom Timmerman. He's the beat writer for St. Louis City SC. Make sure you check him out at Tom Tim, T-I-M-M, with two M's, and find all his recent articles. Does a great job covering the team and giving us snippets of information wherever we can get them. Hang with us here on the City Spotlight. One more segment to go, and you'll get a preview of our next Y98 game player profile, and we're going to do it with City defender Haziel Orozco. He's up next on KMOX.
Now, back to the City Spotlight.
Our city! Our spirit!
Once again, Jen Cease on KMOX.
Well, the secondary transfer window is exciting, but won't get City the immediate impact they still need to keep stacking up points in the MLS. What can help, though, is looking from within, if you can. And City 2's Haziel Orozco has done just that, with not only appearances, but starts in the last two games for the first team. Here's what interim head coach David Critchley had to say about his performance.
He was good on both sides of the ball. He was defending very, very aggressively. Picks and chooses his moments good. And then on the ball, for me, is his biggest strength. He's able to help us build built the attack, he's able to help us create chances to score goals. And that was my feedback to the club, is he would help this team. I don't get involved with the roster rules and the decisions from there, but all I can do is provide technical and tactical feedback to the club. And my report back was that he can help this team.
Might we see an announcement of a first team signing soon? Never know. Keep your eyes out. But in the meantime, Hazy and I caught up after training on Tuesday to talk about his path to the first team and how it ironically started facing off against his prior club, Real Salt Lake.
It was a crazy week because I just came back from winning with City 2 on that last Saturday. And then out of nowhere during the week, I just knew that I was starting. And I couldn't believe it because I knew I was going to go back to my own club. I already had plans made for the weekend because with the City 2 was going to go there as well. And out of nowhere, everything just changed. The family was just happy. And it was a good time to see people that I know before, even like in the cafeteria, Keatman managers, everyone that was just involved in my 5 years there. So it was something that I was really happy to see, and I'm grateful for everything they did for me. And just going back and to see the crowd and people even Hasi chanting my name from back in the years, it was something that was really beautiful to experience. And at the same time, I just wanted to play and do my best ability to win, right?
That's not a bad way to have to change your plan. That's a good excuse, in other words. Excuse me, I have to go up here for the first team. I need to change our plans.
Yeah. I even surprised one of my teammates telling them that I was going to be there Friday, that I was going to be on the bench for first team, but then I told them I was going to start. It was more of a surprise for them.
What does that do for the club, for the players, to see somebody progressing from within?
Yeah, of course. Like, it was my first year here. That was my plan. And talking to Christian, he was still the City 2 head coach. It was something that I wanted. And he knew that I wanted that. It was like, right now, you got to focus on your City 2 seasons, focus here. Be patient with the opportunity that's going to come. And that's what I did. It was part of my development. The guys, the team, City 2 right now is flying. And I feel that translated to the game. Every single week, it was like a lot of competition within the group. Even guys coming from the academy, you can see like, okay, this guy's trying to fight for a spot at the same time. And it was trying to match a goal to play in the MLS, play in the first team. And it was a great environment to be in.
Tell me a little bit then about from RSL coming to City 2. What was that process like for you?
It was tough, you know, because it was hard to like move out from Salt Lake after 5 years. I was there since I was 15. Being there for like 2 years, having a couple of MLS appearances, going out on loan, and then coming back again in 2024, hoping for a new opportunity from Salt Lake. St. Louis City knocked on the door, and I was grateful to come into a new place, new environment, new coaches, new teammates, a new opportunity for you to grow. And you got to impress other people. You got to show what you're capable of, and of course, like working hard and always enjoy the new environment that I was going
to
be in.
Take me back to when you started the beautiful game. How old were you? How did you fall in love with the game?
I think it was pretty easy. My dad played professionally in Mexico for 10 to 12 years, if I'm not wrong. I guess it was in my blood. Going with him into the changing room sometimes in Mexico, like hard when he was traveling when I was back home, but I knew I wanted to do that at the same time. So now I'm living his dream at the same time because he looks at me. It's funny because this past 2 games, they've been watching it with my grandparents back at home, and then when she sees it, and now he tells me like, this is what I felt when I used to play, and now me watching you is something that makes me truly happy, and my mom as well, and my grandparents. So yeah, that was, I guess I started from when I was 3 years old, started already kicking the ball, breaking stuff around the house, which is pretty funny because
sounds familiar.
Yeah, so I feel like everyone starts like that, but it was really happy.
You've got 2 starts under your belt. Do you feel like a veteran yet? Does it feel normal, or are you still kind of got your eyes wide open like, I can't believe this is happening?
It's a mix of both, you know, like trying to get used to it, but at the same time I feel like I have a lot to learn. I'm still 21. I ask a lot of questions. Even I feel like if I'm still a veteran, my dad always says there's always something else to learn. I feel like I can gather all the information I need from guys like Timo, guys like Kat, like Joel Klaus, like just ask questions, gather information for me, and being humble enough to be like, I need to get better every single day.
Tell me a little bit about center back versus playing left back for you. Some people might look at the back line and feel like it's all the same, but they're not. You know, how you approach a center is very different than how you approach the wing. How do you change your game to adjust for the two?
Of course, it was something that I needed to get used to within the training sessions and watching clips. I think watching clips was a big part of like, where can I play when I'm on the sideline? And that opens a whole new like picture inside my head when I'm in the pitch. It was something that was hard, not gonna lie, because you're trapped on the side once you get the ball. But once you get reps throughout the session, once you get even the first game, you get used to it. And that's really fun going up and down and down the field sometimes. My role is a little bit more conservative than Todd's. He has more of a freedom going up and down. But Chris told me, if you have space, go get what the game gives you, you know? So sometimes, even in the last game, I had like a spell where I was inside the box, and it's something unfamiliar, but it's fun. It's fun to be out there and get it like all the way in the final third. third and helping my teammates. And I don't know, one day probably score a goal.
What are you most proud of so far in your journey? And what do you want to grow in so that by the end of the season, you can say, I'm a better player than when I entered the season?
I think my mental strength and patience is one something that I've been really proud of myself. It's not been easy, honestly, just being back in Salt Lake, going on loan spells. It was something that I didn't really comprehend, thinking that I've been doing a really good job. But I'm a man of faith, and I know that God has a plan for each and every one of us. And so I just went with the flow. I'm here for a reason. So I think it was one of the things that he gave me a lot of patience, a lot of confidence within whichever team I was. And when it was my spell in Mexico and spell in other Ireland or in Salt Lake, and now I'm here. So I think that was one of the biggest tools. And something I really want to work on is just keep on building on what I have. Like, there's always room for improvement, like what I said. Block all the noise, block all the distractions when it comes to social media, you know? And, all the hype, yeah, and still keep my head down, keep on learning, and always be hungry for more.
That was St. Louis City defender Haziel Orozco, and I say it really generally like that because he is City. He is City 2. He's had his two appearances with the first team, and I don't think he can do any more unless, you know, something more official happens. So stay tuned. You never know with Lutz Vantage Deal. He likes he and City like to drop that news and surprise you when you wake up in the morning, as is happened to be before. So hopefully we looked forward to see Hazi soon. But, and also I say defender because with City 2, of course, he is more of a left center back. With St. Louis City, Critch challenged him to go out on the left wing. He talked a little bit there in his interview about what those different kind of challenges are for him, and I think he's stepping up quite nicely. Wow. Well, an hour has already gone by, Daniel. Daniel Hincap's been on the control, so thanks to him for keeping all this on track. If you missed any part of this City Spotlight with our guests, Charlie Bilyeu, with Dale Shilley, with Tom Zimmerman, and then even listening back to this player profile with Haziel Orozco, you can always find it for free under the Odyssey app in the podcast sections. It also has previous pregame content that you find on all City broadcasts. In fact, the next City broadcast will be the next MLS regular season game for St. Louis City. They're away at FC Dallas this Saturday, July 19th, kickoff at 7:30, and we always have pregame 30 minutes prior to published kickoff, so that'll start at 7 p.m. on our sister station, Y98. I'm Jen Cease, and thanks for tuning in to the City Spotlight on KMOX.